ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
संहितां भागवतं कृत्वानुक्रम्य चात्मजं शुकमध्यापयम् आस निवृत्तिनिरतं मुनिः। The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Sometimes this question comes. How is it that Vyasadeva is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, these topics of him are discussed, yet he's also the author? And it appears that he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's stated, but then in the Srimad Bhagavatam we read about events which must have happened after the compilation, such as the sages of Naimisharanya hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was one of your questions. So the answer, as given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, is that Vyasadeva, we see here in this purport, in this text and purport, that first of all, Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he taught it to Shukadeva Goswami. So the version that he taught to Shukadeva Goswami, that was a little different from that which he first compiled. Then Shukadeva Goswami, we read in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that Shukamakhad Amrita Drava Samyatam, this is heard from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it is stated, Mahamuni Krite, and in the second verse, it's stated that this is compiled by the Mahamuni Vyasadeva. Shukamakhad, this is coming from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami. So actually Vyasadeva compiled it, then Shukadeva heard it, then Shukadeva spoke it. Among the listeners of those who were present when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing Bhagavatam was Sutta Goswami, who later spoke this to Shonakadi Rishi, the Munis at Naimisharanya headed by Shonak Rishi. Then after that Vyasadeva wrote it all down as we have it now. And that is the 18,000 verse Bhagavatam we have now. Even if you count all the verses, you'll find it's not exactly 18,000 verses. And you'll find that within Prabhupada's commentary, he says that sometimes Madhvacharya gives an extra verse here. So you may ask, well, how is it 18,000 verses? Well, that again may be answered in one way. It's actually less, as it appears, but some of the verses are quite long. So according to the usual system by which verses are counted, these short verses, according to the understood meter, has so many syllables. So if you count according to the number of syllables and then divide, it will come to about 18,000. But it's an approximation, because even Jiva Goswami states in the Tattva Sandharva that the Srimad Bhagavatam, as it's present in the heavenly planets, is, I can't remember, 1 lakh or 2 lakh verses. It's more. And originally the Bhagavatam was spoken in 4 verses. The whole Bhagavatam is there in 4 verses, spoken by Lord Krishna to Brahma. So that was later expanded upon, that in those 4 verses is the essence of all the philosophy of Bhagavatam. That was expanded upon by narrations of the great devotees. Bhagavatam means that which is in association with Bhagavan. Therefore we have 2 kinds of Bhagavats. Bhagavat means that is which is in association with Bhagavan. So 2 kinds of Bhagavats, ek Bhagavata Bharo, Bhagavata Shastra, or Bhagavat Bhakti Bhakta, Bhakti Rasa Patra. There are 2 kinds of Bhagavats. One is the book Bhagavat, and the other is the devotee who is the receptacle of feelings of loving for Krishna, which is the whole purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ultimately, this is a book of rasa. This is a book of philosophy. This is a book of history. Ultimately, this is a book of rasa, describing transcendental relationships between Krishna and his devotees. So many of those relationships between Krishna and his devotees are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam with historical references. So many stories of great devotees are there. They have been described. Many of these stories, which are in Bhagavatam, they are described in more detail in other Puranas, but they are described just with the essence which is conducive for developing Krishna consciousness in this version of Bhagavatam as we have it now. that is in the Puranas, which were compiled by Vyasadeva at the end of Dwarka Yuga. He has stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. That means in its present form it is 18,000 verses. Otherwise Bhagavatam is unlimited. There's no end to the number of verses. There's one name of Krishna, Ananta Mahatmya, means his glories are unlimited. So Bhagavatam, that is unlimited. Bhagavatam means description of the glories of Krishna. So that is unlimited. We have also, along with the Bhagavatam, so many commentaries by the acharyas. That is as good as the Bhagavatam. Or even that, we could say that is it's all based on the Bhagavatam, but in one sense it is even more important, because we cannot understand the Bhagavatam without the commentaries of the acharyas. Just like Bhagavad Gita, so many people read Bhagavad Gita, just the verses, not so many people nowadays. But without the commentaries of the acharyas, you cannot understand. So the acharyas, they supply that meaning which we may not clearly understand. Parikshit Maharaj, he was spiritually advanced enough to understand everything that Shukadeva Goswami said on his first speaking it. And if there were some points that he was not sure about, he asked the questions and he got the clarification. But we may have so many other questions, so to answer all these questions, the acharyas have given their commentaries, and to not only to clarify questions, but to expand on the waves of Krishna Katha that are flowing from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Because the nature of the devotees is to engage in kirtan. There are 9 processes of devotional service, of which Shukadeva Goswami is particularly noted for kirtan, for glorifying Krishna. Kirtan doesn't only mean singing, but it specifically means glorification of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is glorification of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami, this message of Bhagavatam became more sweet when it was broadcast by him, because naturally a devotee, he has feelings for Krishna that we read in the previous verse. Bhaktira Pabdyate Pungsa. Feelings for Krishna naturally arise when one hears the messages of Krishna, specifically the Srimad Bhagavatam. So devotees, they express that in so many songs and so many books. There are so many books of Vaishnava literature, and most of these books, or many of the books, are philosophical, and many of them, in the songs, they are a description of Krishna's form, his pastimes, his qualities. So we may ask, well, what is the need? We already have Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we may say there is no need for any more books. But on the other hand, it is the nature of a devotee to glorify Krishna. It springs automatically from his heart that he wants to glorify Krishna. Therefore he speaks about Krishna, he sings about Krishna. He writes books about Krishna. There's a natural function of the devotee to glorify the Supreme Lord. So therefore we have so many books, and they're all expansions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like the most important books of philosophy, systematic books of philosophy, are the Sandharvas of Jiva Goswami. They're all based on Srimad Bhagavatam. The first of the Sandharvas is the Tattva Sandharva, in which he establishes what is the important subject matter, what is the pramana, what is the evidence that we can accept. So he establishes Srimad Bhagavatam, and then all the other Sandharvas, they are simply elaborations on the philosophy expressed within Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, here the importance in these verses, the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam is being described. Here it is being described that Vyasadeva, he was given the instruction by Narad Muni to compile a book which only glorified Krishna. There were other books that he had compiled which glorified Krishna. All the Vedic literatures are meant for glorifying Krishna. What is that? Purane Bharate Tata. What is that? Vede Ramayana Chaiva. Purane Bharate Tata. Ada Pante Chamadhecha. Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In all the Vedic literatures, the Vedas, the original Vedas, in the Ramayana, in all the Puranas, in the Mahabharata, in all the vast Vedic literatures, in the beginning, middle and end, the only purpose in that is glorification of Krishna. But in some of the literatures, that glorification of Krishna is not directly perceived. There may be glorification of some demigod. Actually, the glorification of the demigod, that can be understood in another way, just like if it is said Indra. Indra means Krishna only, because Indra means the king, so Krishna is the king. Or if Shiva is glorified, Shiva also means Krishna, because Shiva means auspicious. So Lord Shiva, he is known as auspicious. He is known as auspicious, why? Because Vaishnava Anam Yatha Shambhu, because he is the greatest Vaishnava. This is why he is not independently auspicious, but he is auspicious because he is a great devotee of Krishna. So the Vedic literatures, those who know the actual purpose of the Vedic literatures, they understand them in this way. But generally people don't. Therefore, it was necessary to compile a book in which very clearly and straightforwardly only glorification of Krishna is aimed at. So Vyasadeva, after taking the order from Narad Muni to compile this literature, he meditated. He didn't just sit. Nowadays we have so many so-called spiritual writings. Someone just sits down and whatever comes in their head, whatever nonsense comes in their head, they simply write it out. And often on the taking some intoxication, people write something, and then this is called spiritual literature. This is not spiritual literature. Even Srila Prabhupada, who was being dictated to by Krishna what to say, he also had to consider, even though Krishna was saying, he had to consider how to say, how to put in language so that people could understand. So he said that when about his writing, but do not think that this is just some casual writing. He said, I have to consider very carefully each word for the understanding of the common man. So this is this Srimad Bhagavatam. First of all, he had to meditate very deeply. So in his meditation, he saw there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there are the conditioned souls who are forgetting Krishna, and how they can be benefited by hearing about Krishna. So specifically, this Srimad Bhagavatam, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam with that purpose, to benefit the conditioned souls. Now, another question comes, that this Srimad Bhagavatam is called Paramahamsa Samhita. It is especially meant for the Paramahamsas, those who have transcended the conditions of material life. On the other hand, it is said that this is meant for those who are developing Krishna consciousness, those who are in material illusion. They can get transcendental benefit from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So which is true? Both are true. Srimad Bhagavatam can actually be relished by those who are free from all material contamination. But even those who are not free from material contamination, they can become free from material contamination by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So the actual import of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is not a very easy thing to understand. That there is one verse in this regard that Vyasa Veti Shiva Veti Shukho Veti Vyasa Veti Na Veti Va Bhaktir Bhagavate Graham Na Buddhaya Natikaya. This verse says that Shukho Aham Veti Me Shukho Veti. Lord Shiva says that I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami, he also understands it. Vyas, maybe he understands it, maybe he doesn't. What is the deepest purport? But anyway, this Bhagavatam, this can be understood by the process of devotional service. Bhagya Bhagavatam Gaya. Not simply by one's intelligence, nor simply by understanding purpose. So the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is very deep, and only the topmost Paramahamsas can understand. Even, this may sound somewhat controversial, but even some of our acharyas who have commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, they did not come to the point of understanding the very deepest message. The deepest message of Bhagavatam, or the most confidential message, is the dealing of Krishna with the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. So even some of our acharyas, Madhvacharya, Vallabhacharya, they have commented on Bhagavatam, but they have not entered into these topics. They have not entered into the depths of these topics. That was revealed by Chaitanya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, it is non-different from Krishna. All the Vedic literature is non-different from Krishna, but particularly Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna in his form as Rasik Shekha, as the topmost of all enjoying personalities. Krishna is only for enjoyment, and he enjoys with different devotees in different levels. In Vaikuntha, there is Dasya Ras, and there is Sakya Ras also, but in the lower stages. That means Sakya Ras, there are different levels. There is the level of obedience and servitude within friendship. That is the lower level of Sakya Ras. In the higher level of Sakya Ras, that is with feelings of total fraternity, that feeling that Krishna is my equal. Or sometimes in Sakya Ras, someone may think Krishna is even junior to me. Balaram thinks Krishna is junior to me. So there is the upper levels of Sakya Ras, then Vatsalya Ras, Madhurya Ras. These are experienced only in the Kalok Vrindavan, not in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, only Lakshmi, one Lakshmi in each Vaikuntha, has the feeling of conjugal love with Narayana. So this point of the higher levels of devotional service, that is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a book of Ras. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasayam Rasamalayam. We are enjoined to drink the Ras, the juice, the spiritual nectar juice of the relationships of Krishna with his devotees. In this Srimad Bhagavatam especially, that Ras is elaborated upon. And Shukadeva Goswami, he says, Aham Vedmi Shuko Vedmi. I understand, Lord Shiva says. And Shukadeva Goswami understands. Shukadeva Goswami entered very deeply into the Ras. Shukadeva Goswami, he is a devotee in conjugal love. He is in the Madhurya Rasa. He is very intimately related with that. So Vyasadeva, he compiled this Vedic literature, this Srimad Bhagavatam. But even the very deepest essence, according to this verse of Lord Shiva, we shouldn't preach this, and we shouldn't misunderstand this. Of course, Vyasadeva understands the Vedic literature. But the very deepest essence, that can be understood by the topmost Paramahamsas, like Shukadeva Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering the chance that you please enter into this deepest essence of Vedic literatures by studying Srimad Bhagavatam. By this study and by this practice of Krishna consciousness, we can come from the most conditioned stage to the most elevated stage by following in the footsteps of the great acharyas and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is being described in this series of verses. Next, Shaunaka Rishi will ask, why is it that Shukadeva Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam? And the very important answer to that question will be explained in the verses following that. including the famous Atma Rama verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in first of all 18 ways, then 61 ways, and along with the 61 ways, he gave a method for understanding in unlimited ways. So Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. It's not 4 verses, it's not 18,000 verses, it's not 1 lakh verses, it's not 2 lakh verses. It is unlimited as Krishna is unlimited. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Giridhara.